This morning, for just a few minutes, I want to talk to you on Judas the traitor. Judas is the epitome of treachery. And it's interesting to observe in Webster's dictionary, one of the definitions for Judas is traitor, especially one who betrays under the guise of friendship. Mountains, literally mountains of vile epithets, have been hurled against him in the literature of the centuries. And folklore always makes Judas the villain. Our daily vocabulary reflects the infamy of this tragic apostle. We speak, for example, of the Judas tree. And that's a purple blossom tree, believed by many to be the tree on which Judas hanged himself. Then there's the Judas goat. In the stockyard, there is an animal that is used to lead the fellow animals to their slaughter. And this animal is called the Judas goat. We all know about the Judas kiss. And then there's the Judas hole. This is a peephole that's used in prisons where you can see through into the cell without being seen by the prisoner inside. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the reason for the anathematizing of Judas Iscariot, or his name, is found in the New Testament. Every time that you read the list of the apostles, Judas Iscariot is the last one to be named. And over and over in the Gospels, Judas is set forth or identified to betray Jesus. And what a name or a nickname to stick for over 1900 years. Judas, it's still being used today. But let me suggest to you that in the very beginning, Judas was an honorable man. He wasn't always a traitor. He was chosen by Jesus to be an apostle. Hence, he started out well. And when he was chosen, Judas was an honorable and proud name. Among the Jews, there was Judas Maccabeus, who helped to lead opposition, his people in opposition against the Macedonian invasion. Then Jesus had a brother named Judas, Matthew 13, verse 55, who possibly wrote the epistle of Jude. And then there was another apostle who was also named Judas. And then here we have Judas Iscariot. This word Iscariot, we are told, is a corruption of the word Iscariot. Iscariot, man of Carioth. This implies that Judas lived at Carioth. That's where his home was. And we don't know for sure where it was located, but some have suggested that it was found just south of Hebron. And so Judas was from Carioth, a man of Carioth, and his father's name was Simon, John 13 and verse 2. Now I want you to notice, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus selected him to be an apostle. That means that he possessed the same potential as the other apostles. To all appearances, Judas was a most eligible candidate, a man of high ideals. He was not a traitor when Jesus selected him to function as an apostle. And to depict him as a hoodlum lurking in the bushes with threatening stare and an assassin's intent is a warped concept of Judas Iscariot. He must have been the average man, and as someone said, perhaps just like the person who sits beside us each Sunday morning in church. I'm saying that Judas, evidently, when he was chosen by Jesus, was an honorable man with high ideals that Jesus saw possibilities in to work in the office of an apostle. But like the other apostles, Judas forsook all that he had and followed Jesus. And for 3 years, he was a close associate of Jesus Christ, who walked with him and talked with him and ate with him and listened with him. He saw the great miracles that Jesus worked, and he heard many of the wonderful sermons that Jesus preached. And Judas, according to Matthew, the 10th chapter, even went out and preached the gospel. That is, that the gospel, the kingdom was to come in its preparatory state. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and even worked miracles as the divine record instructs us. Judas was chosen as the treasurer. He carried the money. And his companions must have had a lot of confidence in him to give him this responsibility, in view of the fact that one of the other apostles was Matthew, who was a tax collector for the Roman government. But Judas must have displayed some financial expertise, and so they let him take care of the money. Now, we see then in Judas that he was a man of honor. Jesus chose him. Judas forsook all. Judas served as an apostle for 3 years in the kingdom or in the service of Jesus Christ. But Judas fell. And he was warned of this by Jesus on different occasions. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, and verses 10 and 11, when Jesus washed the apostles' feet, Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." Now listen to this. "For he knew who should betray him. Therefore," said he, "ye are not all clean." And then you drop down to verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And then continuing, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him, and he should ask him who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And Jesus dipped the sop and gave it unto Judas." Here Judas is warned or told of his betraying of Jesus Christ, that indeed he would fall. And you just think, brethren and friends, what Judas could have become. Judas Iscariot could have become a great evangelistic apostle to go out into the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He could have become a notable martyr for Jesus, and to enjoyed rewards in heaven. Cities, even churches, and children have been named after the other apostles, and their names are written in the book of life and inscribed in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. But not so with Judas Iscariot. I'm saying, friend, that Judas, like the others, had the potential, had the same possibility of going out into the world and going down into the annals of history as one who sacrificed, one who devoted, one who committed himself to Jesus Christ and perhaps died a martyr's death, and to be in heaven basking in the sunshine of God's love. That was his potential and possibility, but instead he fell and was lost. I read this story that an artist was commissioned to paint a mural in a Sicilian cathedral several years ago of the life of Christ. This was going to take several years. And to pose as the boy Jesus at the age of 12, a young man of radiant innocence was selected. This artist, day after day, painted the picture of Jesus representatively, of course, by having this youngster pose. And then time went on. This mural was enlarged. It got toward the completion. He drew the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and Matthew, and the others. And he got down to Judas. And one day, a bum, a derelict, a wino, came into a tavern where this artist was sitting. He looked at this man and he thought to himself, here's the ideal person for Judas Iscariot. He made a bargain with him. He came out to the cathedral and as he sat there posing for Judas Iscariot, he began to sob and tears flowing from his eyes. The artist said, what is wrong? He said, gesturing toward the drawing of Jesus at age of 12. He said, don't you remember? He said, I was that young man who sat here some years ago posing for Jesus Christ. And now I'm sitting here posing for Judas Iscariot. Brethren, there's a message in this for all of us. Each has his potential. Every one of us can become something. In the kingdom of God, we sing the song or did in the Breadback book that we used to have, there's room in the kingdom. And indeed there is. And yet I see people who have the potential, like Judas did, who drop out of service. I see men who have a great ability to become gospel preachers. They have keen minds and gift of speech, but they go in some other direction. I see men who have the potential of being elders and leaders in the church of Jesus Christ. I see men who can be teachers. I see men who can be deacons. I see men who can serve in various ways, and women too. But they let the world interfere. And they let Satan enter their hearts and influence them in some other direction. The story of Judas is so often repeated today. In 1776, Benedict Arnold, commander at West Point, secretly offered to surrender West Point to the British for 20,000 pounds. What caused this man, Benedict Arnold, to become a traitor? Winston Churchill wrote in his book, History of the English-Speaking Peoples, four reasons why Benedict Arnold became a traitor. Churchill says his dissatisfaction with the conduct of American troops. Number two, marriage to a loyalist lady. Number three, a recent reprimand at a court-martial for misappropriation of government property. And four, indebtedness. And interestingly enough, two of these reasons, brethren, are similar to those accounting for Judas's downfall. Why did Judas fall? There are reasons for his falling. And I think number one is his growing disenchantment with Jesus, of all things. I believe, this is my personal opinion, but I believe when Judas started out as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he had great aspirations, great visions. He saw in Jesus a Messiah to rule here on earth and to extricate the Jews from Roman subjugation. He saw a place for himself in an earthly kingdom. And as he continued with Jesus, he saw that this wasn't developing. He saw that Jesus was not going to become the king here on earth. And Jesus' teaching didn't quite fit, or Jesus' mission didn't quite fit Judas's concept of how things ought to be. And after the feeding of the 5,000, in the 6th chapter of John, Jesus said in verse 70, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He had become this. He wasn't this originally. He wasn't this initially. But one of you is a devil. Jesus lost here after the teaching in regards or in connection with the feeding of the 5,000, he lost great multitudes, those on the fringe of discipleship. And many, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him because they didn't hear what they wanted to hear from Jesus or get what they wanted to get from Jesus. And about this time, Judas was in that same attitude of mind. And here it's in verse 70, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. His disenchantment with Jesus caused him to fall. And the second thing is his covetousness. Judas became a greedy person. Look in your Bible to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. Here Jesus at Bethany. And Mary took spikenard, a very costly ointment, and she wiped the feet of Jesus, anointed the feet of Jesus with this ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" You think he was interested in the poor? No. And here's an interesting thing, brethren, that so many times we use pretext to make a charge or make an opposition against something, that we won't say what we feel or what is really bothering us, but we use something as a substitute, as a pretext, to try to keep it where we want it. If Judas just came on out and said, "Now, listen, I'm not in favor of this. I think it's a waste of money. And we got something better to do with our money, Lord, than using this expensive, costly spikenard to put on your feet. And that was really his objection. He wasn't interested in the poor. He wasn't concerned with the poor. But look at here. Then he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Here's Judas is classified as a thief. He was covetous. And hence he went and bargained with the priest and the chief elders for 30 pieces of silver to betray the innocent Jesus Christ. Covetousness, Paul says, is idolatry. And it'll cause us to do a lot of things that are unbecoming. Covetousness is one of the heinous sins in the Word of God. Covetousness, brethren, will cause a person to crucify or undermine or assassinate the character and reputation of another individual by slanders and lies. Covetousness will cause us to steal a neighbor's possession. Covetousness will cause us to try to break up a marriage, to take the mate that belongs to somebody else. Covetousness will cause us to commit murder. And I want you to listen to me. Covetousness caused Judas to crucify Jesus Christ. Judas fell. Here was a man who was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Here was a man who had great potential. Here's a man who had wonderful privileges. Here's a man who had responsibility. But this man fell because he let sin capture him, possess him. He permitted Satan to influence him, as the Bible says. Satan entered into him. And you know, we talk about Judas betraying the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Some of us do it for less, maybe more. But whatever it may be, my friend, it isn't worth betraying Jesus Christ for any amount or any position or anything. Jesus, the Son of God, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and some of us come along and we'll betray him for a job, we'll betray him for a position, we'll betray him for pleasure, we'll betray him for the things of this world and turn our back upon him and walk with him no more. And we got a lot of Judas's parents today who betray the Son of God, the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Isn't that right? We got people who leave the church, elders who leave the church because of sin. Preachers who leave the church and leave the Lord because of sin. And others who leave the Lord and quit the church because of sin. And we still have the Judas's character today, because when we quit walking with Christ, we're betraying him for something else. But let's look at his end. The tragic end of this man. Judas contracted with the chief priest for 30 pieces of silver that he would betray Jesus with a kiss. And I want to tell you, friend, though Judas did all of this, he could have been forgiven. His sin wasn't any worse, I don't think, than was Peter's. And it was Peter who lied. He said, I don't know him. It was Peter who cursed and swore it was Peter who threw up his hands and started back to Galilee. He said, I'm going back fishing. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old business. This is all a hoax. His aspirations were squashed. He thought Jesus himself was going to be the Messiah here on earth, and he didn't realize that he must die and be raised again the third day. And Peter said, I give up. Peter was a coward. But bless your heart, Peter came to himself, repented of his sins, and with the rest of the story we know what a great apostle he became. Brethren, Judas could have done the same thing. There have been people in our generation who have betrayed Jesus Christ, who've turned their back upon him, but finally came to their senses and turned around their lives and became great servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and were able to lift up the kingdom and the cause of God in the world in which they live. And let me tell you, we can do the same thing. If we repent of our sins, but we let sin overwhelm us. And Judas saw what he'd done. He knew what he'd done. In fact, he says it. If you look in the 27th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and verse 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. The Bible says here that he repented, but this word here means he had regret or remorse. He was sorry for what he'd done, but he didn't change his life. And there are a lot of us who are sorry for what we've done, but it doesn't cause a change in our lives. We're sorry that we've been caught, and we're sorry that we've been embarrassed, and we're sorry, ladies and gentlemen, over the results that don't measure up. We're disappointed about the results that don't measure up to our expectation or anticipation. But do we repent? Do we repent? And you know, we see people sometimes who are approached on something and the tears flow and they act like they repent or they come make a confession and then the next day they're right back at it again. And we really don't make a decision to say, Lord, I quit those things, they're behind me, and I'm going to serve you to the best of my ability. Now, Judas could have done that. If he would have come to Jesus, and I think Jesus was giving him every indication in the warnings. I believe when Jesus said, one of you going to betray me, I think Jesus was giving him some warning so that he could make some adjustments. Judas had free will. He could have turned his life around and he could have served the Lord and he could have gone out into the world and preached the gospel in Asia. He could have gone to Italy. He could have gone to Africa. He could have gone anywhere and preached the gospel as the other apostles did. But instead, he felt sorry for himself. And he went out and hanged himself. Committed suicide. And when Peter spoke of it in the first chapter of Acts in verse 25, it says that he went to his own place. In fact, evidently the rope broke and he fell down over the cliff and the Bible says his bowels gushed out. And when they brought back that 30 pieces of silver before he hanged himself, they took it and they bought this field of blood where they would bury strangers because they couldn't receive it into the treasury. This is Judas Iscariot. And what do we learn from all of this, brethren, basically? That there's potential in every one of us. That we don't have to leave the Lord and go to hell. We don't have to do that. The loving arms of God are still beckoning and held out for us. He wants to use us. Everybody has ability. and exercise that ability in the kingdom of God and develop himself and be a worker for the Lord. Indeed, everyone can do that and not turn aback. Now, somebody said, well, preacher, I sin. God still loves you and will accept you if you'll just come whole and come back. In closing, in Matthew 26, in verse 24, Jesus said about Judas, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. I think that's a significant statement. In view of the life that Judas lived and the place that he went to after he died, the eternal agony and torment, Jesus said it had been better for him to never been born. And the same thing is true with each one of us. If we don't serve the Lord and be Christians and live right with God, it had been better if we'd never been born. As we sing the invitation song this morning, and you're subject to heaven's call, would you come and give your life to him that died for you? Don't squander, waste your life. Live it for Christ. Live it for God and serve him. And one of these days, you can be received into that home of the soul and live and dwell around the throne of God throughout eternity. We don't want to miss that, and we can't afford to. And will you come this morning, being baptized into Christ for remission of sins upon your faith and repentance? Or if you're a child of God and sin, confess your wrongs and let us pray that God will forgive. And indeed, he'll abundantly pardon. And I pray that you'll come. Will you do it today, right now, while we stand and while we sit?